What's going on? I'm Rob Fain. Welcome to your Friday edition of Sports Bar Radio. I don't know if we're going to do this every single Friday, but I thought it was a great one with the weather the way that it is. A little hotter than maybe I would like it. Some of us bigger guys, some of us stockier guys, we sweat in early 20s. Forget the 30s and 40s. We just stay inside with the air condition cranked up. I want to talk to you today about travel plans, and I also want to talk to you today about the best music that you can listen to when you finally close the door on your car and you start your weekend. All right, so we're going to get into some good stuff. We're going to talk some real talk. But more than anything, this is a half hour of getting you up to speed with everything that's going on in your world. It's great to have you back. I'm Rob Fay, and welcome to Sports Bar Radio.
This is a throwdown, a showdown. Hell no, Rob Fay Nation can't slow down. It's going to go.
First offense.
All the mix.
Go on and pray.
Okay, party people in the house. You're about to witness something you've never witnessed before.
Yeah, toss them in the hands. Yeah, toss them in the hands.
I'm not sure when you're listening to this podcast. I always imagine that you're doing it. You're coming out from work. You get into your car. You finally say, okay, what am I going to listen to for my commute home? And for some reason, I just in my mind assume that that's around the time that you dial this up. So I'm going to try to keep this podcast as positive as possible, knowing that I've got some tough topics to talk about. We're going to talk about climate change. We do have to touch on that because it is such a big deal. Looking at the projections for the forecast here on the West Coast for the rest of the summer, I don't want to call it dire because I think that's too strong a word, but it is definitely concerning. And I'm not going to get into greenhouse emissions. I'm not going to get into politics. I'm just going to talk straight temperatures, straight numbers, and some of the adjustments that we may need to make now as opposed to in the next 5 to 10 years. Because I'll tell you this, without the doom and gloom, we're not going to be able to get back to the way that it was. It's never going to be like it was in the 80s and 90s. It is a new world that we live in, and there are some adjustments that need to be made to at least try to be proactive and stay cool, which come August is going to be a big deal. The other thing that we're going to touch on before this show is done is gas prices. Here on the West Coast, they say by July, could be July 1st, Canada Day of all things, that the good old tank of gas could take $2 per liter to fill again. So we got over $2 just over a year ago, then it dipped down, and now it's working its way back up to $2. This is going to be something that the conservative government's going to be all over. Pierre Poilievre is going to be just hammering Justin Trudeau on carbon taxes and things that could essentially bring those dollar figures down. But in the meantime, get ready to have gas again eclipse that $2 mark. But before we get into all that, one of the great things that I love is on the weekends, not every weekend, but some weekends I'll get together with my friends and it's always fun. The first 5-10 minutes, you're just getting caught up, you know, how's a wife, how's the kids, all that. But then you get into the conversations of the day, you'll be talking sports. But we got into a conversation just this past weekend, a couple of my buddies and I, and we were talking about the greatest songs for a road trip. I'm going to Calgary this coming week, so I'm going to be in the airplane for, you know, just over an hour. But it's that 2.5 hours before you get onto the plane that usually you're just sitting back, you're listening to a couple of podcasts, maybe you're checking out a couple of things on TikTok or YouTube. But I was thinking, think about yourself in a car, and all of a sudden you've closed the door, and you're heading down to, I don't want to say Bellingham, but maybe you're going to Seattle or Portland, or maybe even a little bit longer for that matter. And in the first 15, 20 minutes, you're trying to get motivated. You got your buddies in the back seat, maybe your girl in the passenger seat, or however your car configures. I was wondering what your favorite song was to get that road trip started. I'm going to give you a couple of options, all right? I'm not saying, this is not crack research teams or research teams on crack. This is just me throwing a couple of songs out there that when you finally press play on the old cassette, I don't even think kids know what cassettes are. You know, a fun fact, before I get into this really quickly, my Aunt Donna had a little Honda Civic that she drove around in for years. And if memory serves me correct, there was an 8-track cassette device in that car. Could you imagine trying to explain to a child that before iTunes, there were CDs? And before CDs, there were cassette tapes. And before cassette tapes, heaven forbid, there were these things that were almost the size of a Nintendo cartridge. And they probably don't even know what that is that you used to plug into the car and they give you a song or two on that one. Anyways, or heaven forbid, a B-side or a record. I don't know why I always do this podcast and end up feeling older than I should. Anyways, all right, let's get to it. A couple of, you know, different websites that I went through, I was just kind of, you know, trying to stimulate the mind thinking, you know, what are some of the great songs? This one, and I'm just going to play little snippets of it because I don't want to get into copyright deals with iTunes or anything like that. I'm just going to play about 20, 30 seconds of each one. But I just want you to go to Rob Fay, at Rob Fay, R-O-B, F as in Frank, A-I, and let me know which of these four you would start your road trip with when it is finally time to get going. Okay, contestant number one, and I'm not going to do the whole Red Robinson thing where I'm going to go deep into, you know, the band itself and the history of it, but imagine getting into your car with a couple of your buddies, and this is the first song that gets going.
I hear the drums echoing tonight, and she hears only whispers of some quiet conversation.
1982, by the way. They used that, did CBS, in Nelson Mandela's funeral coverage, and that did make it to the Billboard number one slot in the top 100. By the way, I feel like I kind of shortchanged that. I gotta give you the chorus. Is that what they call it, the chorus? Come on, this is you in your car. Now I feel a little bit better. Like I haven't shortchanged the people from Africa or Toto. Is Africa the song? Is Toto the band? Dude, come on, man. I was like 8 years old. What do I know? And again, I haven't done a lot of research on this, although I did know that CBS used this in the coverage of Nelson Mandela's funeral. Go figure. Okay, so you're in the car. You ever played that, what's that game show where you try to guess the song in like less notes than the other person? Name that tune. There we go. Imagine this song starting off your road trip. You're in the car. You say, I'm in charge of the music today. This is going to be my jam. And you play one note. This note. I'll give you a second. I guarantee some of you know on one note what one of the best driving songs on earth is. This song for me would be a no-brainer. High fives, everybody smirking at each other, thinking this is going to be one hell of a weekend. '74, the year I was born, is when this song came out, and a very controversial song at that, responding to Neil Young's couple of cuts that he had, and also even taking the governor of Alabama to task in that song. Reached number 8 on the Billboard 100, and still a staple when it comes to feel-good songs, lyrics aside, and on the podium of themes when it comes to songs you listen to in your car when you're making that long drive from A to B.
Sweet home Alabama.
All right, so we go from car anthems to one that I love. This might be one of my personal favorites. And again, it's a little long in the tooth, but at the same time, I just think when you get into the car, that first 10 minutes is a real tone setter. You got to have good energy. Got to come in hype. And again, by the way, none of my tracks in this four options are hip hop, which is a little surprising to me because that's the type of music that I liked when I was growing up. But this one is super high energy. This one, you sit down in the car, you turn on the ignition, this comes on, and you're like, let's go.
One, two, three, take my hand and come with me because you look so fine that I really want to make you mine. Four, five, six, come on and get your kicks. Now you don't need the money when you look like that, do you, honey?
The song was written by 18-year-old Nick Sester. Are You Gonna Be My Girl? This one got to number 29 on the top 100 Billboard charts. It actually cracked the top 20 in Canada, but this one, an anthem. No doubt about it. Imagine writing a song like this when you were 18 years old. Apparently he lived in a flat that just had a bedroom and a washroom, and that was it. And was trying to figure out how he was going to get his life together. And I guess, come to think of it, it's their 20th anniversary of said song. Are You Gonna Be My Girl? God, I sound like Casey Kasem right now. Who's Casey Kasem? Ah, don't worry, kid. All right, to our last one. I don't know if I've ever said this right. Maybe I should Google it or do some research on it. Is it Steppenwolf? Steppenwolf? I think it's Steppenwolf. Let's go with that one. Our final anthem. Born to be Wild, released in 1968, number one in Canada, number two on the Billboard Top 100. And I thought to myself, boy, such an iconic song from Easy Rider, by the way, if you're a movie aficionado. But I thought, who was number one? Like, how can there be a song out there in 1968 that was better than this? Well, a little bit of research. Simon and Garfunkel's Mrs. Robinson was dominating the charts and eventually gave way to Hey Jude from the Beatles. So yeah, you had some real heavy hitters there. But it did get to number two. You put this song on and any road trip is better for it. Okay, go to @RobFay on Twitter and let me know which one of those four songs you would put in the car. If you could only play one song to get your road trip started, which of the four that I have mentioned to you would in fact be that one? Would it be Born to Be Wild? Would it be Are You Gonna Go My Way? Is it Toto's Africa? Or is it Africa's Toto? Anyways. Or is it Sweet Home Alabama from Lynyrd Skynyrd? Okay, we'll take a quick break here. When we come back, let's talk about $2 per tank for gas. I'm talking about road trips. Now the question is, can you go on said road trip? Or is it just getting too expensive to travel? Isn't that something? We got to talk about this again. I'm Rob Fay, and you are listening to Sports Bar Radio.
You're listening to Sports Bar Radio with Rob Fay, brought to you by Equity Guru. Equity Guru, investment information for millennials and madmen.
All right, so there's no doubt that when it comes to traveling, you pack your bags, you do everything you got to do, and you get away and you have a good time. But one of the things that I think a lot of us forget to budget for when it comes to travel is just how much it will cost to travel by car with gas. And a lot of us, and I'm talking to a majority of the listeners that are from the Lower Mainland, I broadcast from Vancouver, and we are within, what, about an hour from the border? Some of us will go across. And even with the currency as crappy as it is right now, which is about, what, 62, 64 cents a dollar, are still willing to go across to get much cheaper gas. When I look at traveling, I think of hotels, I think of how much food I'm going to eat, I think of the days that I'm going to be away. It's probably six or seven down on my list. Until I hear things like this. In and around Canada Day, it looks like gas is going to eclipse $2 a liter for regular gas once again here in British Columbia, or close to $2 in most parts of Canada. This is a home run for Pierre Poilievre and the Conservatives, who are trying to become the next majority in our fine country, because they're going to hammer Justin Trudeau on the carbon tax. Now, hold the thought on carbon tax, because we are going to talk about the warming of Western Canada before this show is done. But let's circle back on the number $2. Let's just focus in on the fact that the average tank takes, what, 40, 50 liters to fill? I mean, I'm not getting into all you guys with your big pickup trucks and stuff. That's a whole different world to me. But to the average consumer who drives around in a standard two-door or four-door, you're looking somewhere between 40 to 50 liters. So even with your regular gas, you're now looking at a bill of $100. Now, if you commute to work and you don't take transit at all, you're looking at probably $300 to $400 a month for gas, minimum. You think of all of the price increases and the inflation that we see at the supermarket, and we see when it comes to, well, pretty much anything in Canada now, right? I mean, you're talking about mortgages and the high prices right there, fixed and variables. And then you talk about your taxes alone before you go out and do your grocery shopping, or heaven forbid, have a night out on the town. It's getting to be a little overwhelming. So the reason that I bring up the $2 is it's a real easy buzz point for any government body right now to really hone in on that. I mean, if I'm the Conservatives, I am absolutely drilling this into the Liberal government. Anytime that the gas eclipses a big number, a big round number like $2, you've got lots of ammunition to go right at the government and say, listen, man, you've got to bring that down. But I also want to talk about provincial governments, and I want to talk about local jurisdictions. I mean, for example, if you are downtown in Vancouver, let's say you're paying $2 for gas. By the time you get out to Chilliwack, or the burbs, if you will, you're probably paying about $1.79 to about $1.85. So these are the things that I think consumers really need to look at a little bit more. Peel the layer of the onion back a little bit, because it's easy for me to generalize and say somebody like Pierre Poilievre is going to go after Justin Trudeau when we're talking about the feds and damn it, the world's gone sideways. But if you really break down the taxes of what gets you to 2 liters, I think you'd be really surprised. And this has nothing to do with the owner of said station. You do have your federal taxes, there's no doubt about it, but then you've got your provincial taxes, which are a real big chunk of that $2, and then in some instances, you've got municipal taxes, and then you've got carbon taxes, and then you have provincial sales taxes, and that's before you get a transportation tax. So there are so many layers to that number that realistically could come down that somebody is going to have to buckle. I don't think it's going to be the feds. I don't think that carbon tax is going anywhere. I think just instead of focusing solely on Justin Trudeau, you've got to look at Premier David Eby. How can you get that dollar down? You've got to look at your local regional government. For example, Ken Sim in Vancouver. What could be done there? These are other people that need to be held to the same accountability as the federal government. It's a real easy, low-hanging piece of fruit to go after Justin Trudeau and the carbon tax, which, again, is up for debate. But I think when you look at the big picture and you really, really, really start to hone in on how we got to $2, what does it take to get a tank of gas, a liter of gas to $2? I think you'd be surprised how many fingers are in the cookie jar when it comes to that. So just food for thought. Again, I'm not an apologist for Justin Trudeau or the Liberal government. I'm simply saying that in addition to just throwing rocks at 24 Sussex, you've got to take a look at the provincial government, your local government, and all of the different organizations that are helping get that number to something that is going to be really hard for a lot of consumers, a lot of families this coming summer as they look to travel. And again, a lot of people will say, well, fine, get an electric car, or fine, take transportation. But I don't know. It's not realistic for a lot of families. And this is something that I want to bring up because I don't think a lot of people take this into consideration when it comes to putting this on the news. People will be like, well, you can take transit. Or, you know what, why don't you invest in a Tesla? Like, for example, my family's got a Tesla and we sit back and every once in a while drive past a gas station and say we're better for it. But those are expensive investments and not everybody can do that. And when you're thinking of families that actually have to balance a job or in some instances two jobs per person in that family, you need a car to get from A to B. I'm sorry, but transit doesn't always cut it. And so instead of penalizing people and looking down on people that do use a single occupancy car to get from A to B, there's got to be a different way to get the solution down. And you can't just hide behind the environment. You can't say, well, we need this carbon tax because we're trying to save the world. Like, I'm all for reducing carbon emissions, but I don't think at the same time, handcuffing a lot of people that drive from A to B with a huge tax that could take several cents per liter off and several hundred dollars over the course of the year back into your pocket, I don't necessarily think that that tax is the way to go about it. I think there's other ways that you can do it. So again, I know I've left this real broad, and you can always hit me up on Twitter at Rob Fay and give me your thoughts on this. But what would you do to try and get that dollar figure down from $2? I think many of us would be okay if we had to pay $1.50. I think for me, $1.50, $1.60 is my limit of comfort. Anytime I see things get to $1.70, $1.80, or dare I say $2, now I start looking around saying, okay, well, what's going on here? And you can talk about the things that are going on overseas in Russia. You can talk about the way that the world is starting to reconfigure itself. But in the here and now, Canada shouldn't necessarily be one of these countries that is dealing with these high, gaudy price numbers. And maybe that's for a different conversation. And it probably is for a different conversation. But a quick fix right now is cool. You're going to charge me $2 a liter for gas. Where am I going to take that from? For example, now that I got to pay $2, does that mean I don't enroll my kids in soccer for the fall? Does that mean that they don't get to play hockey? Does that mean that I shop once every 3 weeks instead of once every 2 weeks when it comes to groceries? If you're pulling the lint out of your left pocket because you got no money left, then eventually you're going to have to start dipping into your right, which is credit cards and all sorts of things that families shouldn't have to rely on when it comes to groceries, gas, and the fundamentals of life. So again, I know if anything, I've only left you with more questions than answers here, but I think I go back to that $2 number and I say, listen, if you're going to go after the feds for this, then you have to go after your provincial government. You have to look at your mayor as well. You have to look at the MPs. You have to look at everybody and say, collectively, what are you going to do to help reduce that number? Transportation, although thoughtful and although does make sense sometimes fiscally, isn't that much a difference. If I was to go get a monthly pass right now, like a three-zone pass, I'm probably only saving about $100 to $150 a month based on my commute. And instead of having to wait for sky trains, wait for buses, hot, cold, whatever, on buses with 50 other people, on sky trains with hundreds of other people, I can just get in my car, turn on my music, and drive by myself. How many people would be willing to spend $150 extra per month to have that comfort, to be able to leave when they want, travel to where they want, as fast as they want, in an environment like that? That is the challenge right now that I think a lot of people are facing, is they want those comforts, but now all of a sudden they're going to have to figure out where they're going to get that money because, it's a lot to get to. Okay, let me switch gears, and I'm going to try to keep this as light as possible. But there was a conversation that was had that is making its rounds right now in Vancouver about the state of our climate. And we are going to have a number of plus 30 degree days here in the province of British Columbia. Alberta is already burning. Portions of BC are starting to simmer up as well. And it's not going to get any better. It's more than just air quality. It is more than just highways in northern and central British Columbia closing. This is a very big deal. And the question is, how are we going to cope? So yeah, in addition to how are we going to cope with $2 gas, let me give you some tips on how you can stay cool this summer and not get caught up in the chaos that is around the corner.
You're listening to Sports Bar Radio with Rob Fay, brought to you by Equity Guru. Equity Guru, investment information for millennials and madmen.
All right, there's no doubt that I think a majority of us try to turn a blind eye to the things like global warming and to things like the warming of our province, of our country. But the reality is there's new research coming out from the University of Waterloo that has projections for what the next 30 years could look like both across Canada and here in British Columbia, and it is a problem. The experts from Waterloo have pinpointed a handful of areas that they're calling red zones. One of them is on Ontario. One of them is in Quebec along the St. Lawrence River, and then they are saying that a big portion of British Columbia is what is now a part of the red zone. The biggest markets to face the red zone here in British Columbia look to be Kelowna and Kamloops, but the lower mainland has to be on standby because, as the report says, there is urban heat, and that is a very big problem that is developing across the lower mainland. Because we continue to build and build and build parking lots and building and subdivisions, and it just looks to be more and more concrete, less and less trees, less and less natural ways to cool our cities down. We're not going to ever go back to the norm. And the norm was when it was a hot day, you're looking at 25, 26. Like now we are looking at consistent days in this province of 30 plus. Clear sky, sun is out, you're talking 30 to 35 degrees. But did you know that the city in the core can actually get up to an additional 10 degrees hotter just because of all this artificial surface that is essentially giving out a secondary heat? For example, I think that's why a lot of the buildings downtown are trying to have green rooftops. They're trying to put sod and ways of trying to cool the heat from the downtown core. Everything bounces off the pavement. It bounces off the roads, it bounces off the buildings, which is increasing the number of hot days in the Lower Mainland, and again, bigger picture, in British Columbia. We're talking about, instead of a maybe 2 to 3 day heat wave, a heat wave that can now last up to a week. And these indicators are going up in a lot of the main cities across Canada. And yes, it is the climate crisis. It is to blame. But the red zones, let me focus on the red zones here. The number of hot days that will eclipse 30 degrees could quadruple in the next 30 years. Which means if we right now are looking at 25 to 30 days of temperatures above 30 degrees, you could be looking at anywhere from 100 to 120 days of not just hot, but straight heat. That's a problem for the cooling of our region. That's a problem for our water supply. That's a problem for our forest. And that is a problem for us. And I really don't think we get it. And I'm not trying to be an alarmist here. But we are past the point of no return. Even if we do at this point reduce our greenhouse gas emissions, we're already set for this heat for at least the next 30 years. So the question isn't about how we can full on reverse it. The question is, how do we deal with it? We're at a state now where we simply have to adjust and try to prepare for what lies ahead. For example, when you're thinking of extreme heat, the first thing you want to do is likely fire up the air conditioner. But the power does go out during a heat wave. So what are you going to do then? And further to that, the University of Waterloo's report says that if you're running everybody on air conditioners, you're actually making the condition worse in our cities by pumping out all of this hot air. So here's some of the tips that they're trying to say. Increase the green space around your home. Plant trees. Try to find shade. Sleep in the basement of your home or sleep on the lower floor of your home. And if you live in an apartment, keep your blinds down so that you can at least have some of that heat bounce off your window and not come into your home. It's not a perfect solution, but even if you can get it from 30 down to 26 or 27, it's going to be a real big difference. You've got to leave your windows open in most cases to try and create some airflow. And we've got to work together to try and lower these emissions. So here I am in the previous segment talking about $2 gas and that it's much more comfortable to be in an individual car. Maybe it's time to do small things like carpool. Or if you live in a neighborhood where they're taking trees down, make sure that there's a plan for every tree that comes out to go in. And make sure that anything that you can do to help the cause, you got to do it at this point because it's getting bad. And like I said, we are now past the point of no return. We are not going to have those kind of summers back when you were a kid. We are in a new world now, and we're dealing with numbers that don't look good. What I will say is that we got to respect our firefighters. We got to make sure that we're not in these forests that are lighting fires and cool to have a campfire and make some s'mores and some marshmallow treats and what have you, but you can't. And you know what's going to, one of the things that will happen is that these fire bans are just going to become year-round. And you're thinking, well, in a wet climate like Vancouver or British Columbia, like how could you possibly do it? They're just going to say no fires, period. And that is something that I think we have to be prepared for because the air quality and the smoke that's coming in from Alberta, well, sooner or later, that's going to be smoke coming in from central and northern British Columbia and heaven forbid down here in the Lower Mainland. But these are real time challenges right now that I think we've got to at least kind of put back in the psyche of things to do that are a priority, not just things to do and then scroll left or scroll up or scroll down because you know what, there's something else on TikTok that's cool and doesn't make me feel so shitty. The world has changed. It isn't changing. It has changed. And now we've got to make adjustments to deal with it. So yes, I know you want to fire up the air conditioner, but just try not to make it a 24/7 thing. And again, if in your neighborhood you're seeing there's a lot of asphalt, there's a lot of pavement, go to your municipal mayor and say, we need more trees. We need stuff where we can not only provide oxygen for the atmosphere, as silly as it sounds, but it also provides shade and can naturally cool down our neighborhoods. It's a little thing that can hopefully make us all a little bit more comfortable in the days ahead. All right, lots to cover here. And we covered a lot. Thank you for checking in on Friday's edition of Sports Bar Radio. I feel like I'm leaving on a somber note here, and I apologize for that. One thing I will say, we got 3 podcasts done this week, and we'll be back to do some more next week as well. I am in Calgary doing some work with the television station as we broadcast our first Canadian basketball game in Calgary. It's a new franchise for them, formerly from Guelph. They moved them out to Calgary as they take on Niagara. If you've never checked out the Canadian Elite Basketball League, you might want to check it out. The games are fantastic. They do things here in British Columbia at the Langley Event Center, and I know that Dylan and Andrew and all those guys out there do a tremendous job helping the Bandits brand, and basketball for me is a ton of fun, and it only takes about 2 hours of your time, and there's lots of entertainment for the whole family. So do that. Get out, enjoy the sun, sunscreen if you have to go outside, and make sure that you drink lots of water to stay hydrated, and that will internally cool you down as well. A little science for you to finish up the day. My thanks to everybody over at Equity Guru. Thanks to Chris Perry, to Galen, to Daria. Thanks for everything you do to keep this ship sailing. And more than anything, I look forward to talking with you next week. And hopefully we'll do it again soon. Thank you for liking. Thank you for your review. And thank you for subscribing to Sports Bar Radio. Until you and I do this again just a couple of days from now, have yourself a great day.
Tick, tick, boom.